The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At that time, Jesus exclaimed, "I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to little ones. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves, for my yoke is easy and my burden light." The Gospel of the Lord. You ever stop to consider the degree of comforts and conveniences that we take for granted on a daily basis? Comforts and conveniences that we live with, absolutely unprecedented in all of human history. I mean, consider air conditioning, for example. What would this place be like right now if it wasn't for the AC? Or central heating in the winter. Or on-demand entertainment or instant communications. Or the automobile or the jet airplane, which allow you to traverse within a matter of hours distances which our ancestors once labored months to travel. Not to mention mobile tech, which puts in your hand at the touch of a finger almost anything you could possibly want to purchase, delivered right to your door, almost anyone in the world you could possibly wish to communicate with, and more information that's contained in the entire Library of Congress, all within just a couple of taps of your finger. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. But that's not my point today. The only reason why I mention all that is to provoke a question. Here's the question. With all that tech and conveniences and all, with all that lifting so many burdens from your daily life, why is your daily life so burdensome? And when you stop to think about it, you know, people by and large are very angry, are they not? Angry people are not happy people. And you've got to wonder, why, with all these wonderful gadgets and all this tech, why are people so unhappy? Well, the short answer to that is that the comforts of the body have no power to comfort the soul. You're made for so much more. I mean, if the comforts of the body and conveniences and these kinds of things, if these things made us happy, we'd be the happiest people in the entire world, the happiest people that have ever lived in all of history. I've had a couple of opportunities to live in underdeveloped countries. I've lived in the mountains in Haiti, and I've lived in the hill country of Rwanda. And it's amazing. These people have a very low standard of living, don't get me wrong. But they have a very high quality of life. Pound for pound, they're a lot happier than we are with none of these gadgets. And it only goes to show, you're made for so much more than this world has to offer. I like the way St. Augustine once said it. You've made us for yourself, O God, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Which is why the words that we just heard from the Gospel are some of the most welcome words in all the Scriptures. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest." By the way, come to me, that is always God's plan. Things are going well, just hear Jesus say to you, come to me. When things are going badly, when your life's falling apart, when your life is being held together by scotch tape and bubble gum, come to me. When you're confused, when you're frustrated, when you don't know where to turn, when you fall into sin, hear Jesus say, come to me. Because honestly, the only mistake that you can really make in life is not to come to him. Consider this. If you are relentless in coming to the Lord, you will make it. The grace of salvation and the grace of perseverance are the same thing. We are not made for this place. The world is a great place, don't get me wrong. God did a great job making the world, but this is not your home. We press on to the place where eye is not seen, ear is not heard, it hasn't so much as dawned on your mind, where God wipes every tear from your eyes. We press on to where God has called us to. That is where we belong. And in this, our Lord asks us to remember, come to me. So it kind of raises a question. Why is it that so many people come to everything else except the Lord? You know, people say I'm spiritual but not religious. You ever heard that before? They turn to everything. They turn to energy and crystals. They turn to political activism. They turn to spirits of trees and rivers. They turn to everything except the Lord. Why is that? Why is that? When the Lord's the invitation is so gentle and so good. Well, it's the subject of a separate homily, but here's the short answer. It's because they're afraid of the burdens that God is going to place on their shoulders. They're afraid of what God might ask. Why are people spiritual and not religious? Because spiritual does not come with 10 commandments. That's why. I was talking to a young guy the other day about the priesthood, and he goes, oh, no, don't talk to me about that. I don't want to give my life away, he said. I don't want to lose my life. They're afraid of what God might ask. And you want to know something? Jesus asks a lot. And even in this gospel, he says that he's got a burden. But here's the key. His burden is light. His yoke is easy. And that raises another question. Anybody with the IQ of a lima bean can tell you that following Jesus is not easy. How on earth can Jesus say that his yoke is easy? How can he say that his burden is light? The answer is, it's light and it's easy compared to the burdens that people place on their own shoulders. So many countless beleaguered souls labor through the course of their lives with a punishing burden of their own making that God never asked them to carry. Whether it's living slavishly in the minds of other people and caring immeasurably about what somebody else thinks of me, or acquiring more and more and more. And that doesn't even get in to the biggest burden of all. It's the burden of sin. Honestly, the cross on which most people crucify themselves in this life has S-I-N written all over it. They climb the corporate ladder, they got their plans, they got their projects, they got their promotions, and they never ask for a moment if God willed any of it. So a question for you here, just to think about. In this life, whose burden are you carrying? Yours or the Lord's? And are you aware that his burden is a lot lighter than yours? Happiest people I've ever known in my life were carrying the fullness of Jesus' burden. I spent time with the Missionaries of Charity Sisters and the Carthusian monks, some of the happiest people I've ever met in my entire life. These people know the Lord's burden is a lot lighter than the burden of the secular world. And he says, my yoke is easy. That's a phrase that deserves a little bit more attention. What the heck is a yoke? Do you know what a yoke is? A yoke is a wooden truss worn by a pair of oxen. A couple of points from that. First of all, a yoke is not something that an ox carries alone. It's always made for two. So when Jesus says, my yoke is easy, understand, you're never going to carry God's burden by yourself. He's there every step of the way, and in all honest truth, Jesus is doing most of the heavy lifting. Do you know when he says that his yoke is easy? This is interesting. The actual Greek word used here in the Gospel of Matthew for easy is krestos. And krestos means more than just easy. It actually means well-fitting. Now, if you were a carpenter living in the days of the Bible, one of the things you'd do is fashion a yoke for a pair of oxen. And when you did, you'd make sure it fit. You'd make sure that it wasn't too big. You'd make sure that it wasn't too small. Because if a yoke didn't fit, it was inefficient, it was burdensome, could even be dangerous. Understand, our Lord trained as a carpenter before he became a rabbi. And in his training, he must have made many, many wooden yokes for pairs of oxen. Must have been the finest yoke in the entire world. And you want to know something? He's still fashioning the most perfect yoke imaginable. The burden you're carrying fits so well. I found this little quotation from St. Francis de Sales. He said, "The everlasting God has in his wisdom foreseen from all eternity the cross that he presents to you as a gift from his all-knowing eyes, understood with his divine mind, tested with his wise justice, warmed with his loving arms, weighed with his own hands to see that it is not 1 inch too large and not 1 ounce too heavy for you. He's blessed it with his holy name. He's anointed it with his grace. He's perfumed it with his consolation. He's taken one last glance at you and your courage and then sent it to you from heaven as a perfect gift to lead you home." Sometimes people might ask, you know, why do I have to carry a burden at all? Why does there have to be a burden at all? Why does there have to be a yoke at all? You know, this is the subject of a whole separate homily, but here's the short answer. Because like I said, we're called not to this world, we're called to heaven. And heaven is a place of perfect love. Now, I don't know about you, but I am not yet loving with perfect love. Maybe you are. Go home and pray for me, right? But until you're living your life in perfect love, you don't fit. You don't belong in heaven. So God's getting us ready. And he sends crosses into our lives to help get us ready. Nobody goes to heaven riding on a toboggan. But, you know, those crosses make you ready. Here's one of my favorite examples from the world of nature. Now, I'm no insectologist, but I heard the most amazing thing about the monarch butterfly. Now, apparently, when the monarch butterfly emerges from its cocoon, it's a terrible struggle. It's a great burden for it to break free from that cocoon. But as it does, it becomes what God made it to be, because when it's in that cocoon, it's got all this fluid in its body, while the wings of the butterfly are shriveled and small. And the struggle to break out of that cocoon delivers the fluid out of the body and into the wings to make it exactly what God made it to be, to make it something beautiful. Now, if there was no struggle, if it was easy to get out of that cocoon and the little butterfly never transformed into what God made it to be, it would waddle along the ground with its oversized body until some bird flew by and ate it up as a little tasty treat. Struggle. The faithful carrying of a burden makes us who God created us to be. And if you want to understand it, the first step is to believe. One of my favorite stories is the Brothers Karamazov. I'll tell you a little excerpt from that book. In that book, there's a little encounter between this very, very wealthy, refined lady and a wise old priest. Lady walks up to the priest and she says, "You know, when I was a little girl, I had the most beautiful faith. But then I went away to college and they told me everything could be explained by science. And when you die, there's absolutely nothing but flowers on a grave. And I want to get my faith back. So, Father, I want you to prove to me that it's all true." The priest says, "I can't prove that it's all true." And the woman says, "Well, then I guess I'll never have my faith back." And the priest says, "Oh, yes, you will. There's a way to get it back. Practice Christian virtues. Go out there and forgive people who don't deserve forgiveness. Go out there and be generous to people who don't deserve your generosity. Go out there and give and love without counting the cost, and you'll discover for yourself that it's all true, and nobody will need to explain to you a single thing. But believe first, then you'll understand." The burden that our Lord places on our shoulders, yes, it's real. And if you try to run away from it, it'll crush you with its weight. But if you embrace it in faith, you'll discover a sublime sweetness. And so our Lord says to us, we who are so burdened, he says, come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Which means that if you're still burdened, you have not yet come to him. That's why I'm so fond of saying, if today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Amen.